And that's what we're going to look at tonight. So if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to the book of Joshua, I had a message that I was planned on preaching, but sometimes plans get stirred around. And the Lord gave me this here this morning, and so we want to share what the Lord gave me and that it would honor and glorify Him. My God, that is who you are. And if you're in the first chapter of Joshua, I'm going to look at verse 1 and read down through verse 5. And this is probably a familiar passage to you. It says that after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Ending at verse 5. And Father, once again, we open your word and we ask that the Holy Spirit would convey your heart tonight. This is your word written to us today. And we want to ask your anointing and your presence upon these words, this message. Give us ears to hear what you would say to us. And I do ask for your anointing. I ask for you to hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And may all that's said honor and glorify you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. My God, that is who you are. You know, and the last part of verse 5 says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, when you hear that or when you read that, we have to understand and see the challenge that has just been given to Joshua. He's been a mentor of Moses, and now Moses is gone. Moses is no longer on the scene. Now God is telling Joshua, you are to carry the mantle now. And what I'm telling you is, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. It's still a challenge, but yet it's an encouraging challenge. And given the responsibility of leading the nation Israel. And as Moses, again, or excuse me, as Joshua was a mentor of Moses, he saw what Moses had to deal with. And when you deal with a large number of people, you can have a large number of problems. Amen? That's possible. The different likes, dislikes, whatever it may be, but Moses had to deal with them. He had to deal with their murmuring, their complaining. He even took it to God, and God says, why are you coming to me? Deal with it. I mean, not in those words, but we see the challenge given, and when you step back and look at the shoes that Joshua was about to fill. I mean, Moses was a pretty good dude, right? He did a lot of great things through God, giving him the ability to do them. And it's interesting, if you over at the last chapter of Deuteronomy, and I noticed this as I was reading this afternoon, it says over in Deuteronomy 34:7 says, Moses was 120 years old when he died. That's a pretty good age. And then it says, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. He must have been pretty vibrant at 120. I'm dealing with things at 75. And that's incredible. To me, that's totally incredible. But the Israelites grieve for Moses, in the allotted time. Mourning, their mourning was over. It says, now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Now, since then, no prophet has ever risen in Israel like Moses. I mean, that's one thing Joshua had to deal with. There's never been another prophet like Moses, and yet I'm supposed to take his place. And Moses continues to say, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to the whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. That's kind of a wonderful tribute, is it not? And now Moses is gone, and now Joshua has got to step in and take his place. To me, I would probably sweat some pretty heavy sweat beads to do that. But anyway, Joshua undertook this. There was a challenge, but the comfort came with God telling him, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. What you saw Moses do, what you saw me do through Moses, I'm going to do through you. The same power that Moses displayed, I'm going to display in you. And that was very comforting, I believe, to Joshua. Now Joshua, again, was a witness to how God did mighty deeds or works through Moses. And he was now reassured that the assignment he was given, that God would be with him in the same manner. That took a little bit of pressure off, not all of it, but that took some of the pressure off of Joshua. God was reminding him, God was faithful to Moses. I'm going to be faithful to you, Joshua. I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. And what God calls you to do, he will enable or empower you to do it. If you look back through the New Testament, and as Jesus, when Jesus sent out the 12, he just didn't send them out and say, okay, guys, go do your own thing. The Bible says that he empowered them and sent them to do specific things. He empowered them and he sent. He just didn't send them. He empowered them first. And then he sent them. The same with the 70. He empowered them and then he sent them. So when God leads you to do something, he will first empower you, then he will send you if you're willing to go or if you're willing to do. But God will not ever ask you to do something that he will not enable or empower you to do. I heard or read a long time ago when I went into the ministry, that this phrase or this statement, and it says, the will of God will never take you to where the grace of God can't keep you. I wrote that down back then, and I've never forgotten it. The will of God will never take you to where his grace can't keep you. God's not going to call you and ask you to do anything that he's not going to first enable you to do. He's going to give you the ability to do it. And then his grace is going to go with you. His presence will go with you. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to leave you dangling. Excuse me. He's not going to leave you dangling out there. And that truth is relevant for today. God has given each one of us certain gifts. God has given each one in this room a gift. And my responsibility is to seek God, to ask God to reveal that gift to me, what my gift is, what he has given me. And this is biblical. Everyone has been given a gift. And I dedicate that gift back to God. And as he opens doors, I use that gift to build the kingdom of God, to equip the church, to build the church, to build the kingdom of God. That's why we all come together with different giftings for one purpose. And that's to glorify God, to build his kingdom, to build his church. Everyone in this room has different giftings. I cannot play the violin. I cannot play the guitar. I can't play the piano. There's a lot of things I can't do. But what I can do, God, here it is. Use me to do it. And so we need to find our gift. We need to dedicate that to the Lord. And back in, back in Matthew 28, and you know this, you know these, these verses, we call this, and it's subtitled in the scriptures, the Great Commission, where Jesus said to them, his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age." He didn't say, go and baptize, you know, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and good luck doing it. He said, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to be with you till the end of the age. To the end of time. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be right there beside you. We will walk we will walk through every difficulty. We will walk through and we will together confront whatever it is, but we will go through this thing together. And as believers, we will face adversity. We will face adversity as believers. But also, as believers, we have God's word and can fully trust his word. I ran across two verses that deal with that. And I'd like to read them to you back in Deuteronomy 20. And it's just verse 1 of Deuteronomy 20. Now, now listen to this verse and apply it to you, your life today. We find these words: when you go to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, because the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, will be with you. Now we have that as Old Testament. How do we apply that to our lives today? How can I take that verse, how can I take those words and apply that to my life today? When you go to war against your enemies, when you leave the house every morning to go to work, you may confront the enemy. The enemy's out there. And when you see things and he is greater than you, he's more powerful, he knows more than we do. But the thing of it is, the greater one is in us and he's greater than the enemy. And so things may look difficult. Things may look hard. Sometimes things may even look impossible. But we don't look at the impossibility. We look at the God that's impossible, that can do the impossible. And he says, look at the army greater than yours. Do not be afraid of them. Do not be afraid of your enemy. Do not be afraid of the devil. We have to understand and believe that he is a defeated foe. He was defeated when Christ Jesus arose from the tomb, from the grave, on the morning of the third day. And the Bible says that he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave with him out of hell. So the enemy was defeated then, and he is our arch enemy, but he has been defeated by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we don't have to fear him. And that's what we find here. Because the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, what is your Egypt? He brought you out of bondage. He brought you out of your sin. And he promised to be with you. He redeemed you, as we just sang earlier. I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus, not with the blood of goats and animals, but I've been redeemed. You have been redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And then another passage is back in Isaiah. And in Isaiah 43, we hear these words, "But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." Now you can replace you, yourself, your name in there where it says Israel. He has redeemed you. He called you by name. You belong to Him. You are mine, is what it says. "And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead, since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you." Catch verse 4. "Since you are precious and honored in my sight." Do you ever consider yourself precious? Do you ever consider yourself honored? The Bible just says that God looks at you that way. You are precious and honored in His sight. And because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Wow. I mean, if we read that and we think, yeah, that's maybe Old Testament and that's God speaking to Israel. Well, you know, Malachi 3:6 says, "I, the Lord, do not change." So He's the same today when He's talking to us. You've been redeemed. You're precious and honored. He knows you by name. He called you by your name. And we're not to be fearful of things. And that's one of the main tools that Satan will use, fear. The fear of the unknown. But we don't have to face anything or anyone all by ourselves, because God has made a promise that He will never leave nor forsake you. He's going to be right there with you. The God who was still is. The God who stood with Israel will stand with you. The God of Israel will stand for you. In Genesis 17, verse 1, out of the New Living Translation, it says, "When Abram was 99 years old." You notice how old these people are in Scripture? 99 years old, "the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty." Amy Grant sang that song, El Shaddai, El Shaddai. This is among the most frequently appearing names for God in the Bible. It characterizes the God that is more than enough, is more, has more to offer than the world. The God that is more than enough. God's resources will never be exhausted. God lavishes His love. God lavishes His grace. God lavishes His peace. God lavishes His joy. God lavishes His strength on you, on us, on me. And His resources, those blessings are never exhausted. God never runs out. There's not a shortage with God. Never. There is never a shortage with God. He is a God of more than enough. He has more than enough to go around. Back in Psalm 86, we find the psalmist here as he says, "Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am devoted to you. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. In the day of my trouble, I will call to you, for you will answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. There is no God that can be compared to God. No other God will stand before God Almighty, El Shaddai. And there is a humorous example of that in 1 Samuel 5, when the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant. And the Philistines had the mindset, the more gods you have, the more power you have. And so the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant, took it back to Ashdod, and placed it in the temple beside one of their gods, Dagon. And they left for the evening, and they came back the next morning, and there was Dagon, flat on his face. Now, they probably scratched their head and thought, now, you know, how did this happen? Remember, there's no God like Jehovah. Every God will bow to Jehovah. They set him up on the pedestal. Or they set Dagon back up on the pedestal. They left. And they came back the next morning. Boom, there he was. His hands were broken off. His head was gone, broken. All other gods will be destroyed. There is no God like Jehovah. There is no God like El Shaddai. There is no God like God Almighty. The Bible says, who can we compare him to? There is no one that we can compare God to. And that same God, you are in a relationship with. That powerful God, you know personally. That same God, that all-powerful God, you can come and just talk to. You might have difficulty getting an appointment or a time with some important individual, somebody with authority, somebody with power, somebody with a little influence. You might have, I might have, a little bit of difficulty getting an appointment with that person. But you can walk in and talk to God anytime. Anytime. God will always give a listening ear to his child, to his children. He says, call on me. I know you're going to hear me. I know you're going to answer. But there is no God like Jehovah. Well, there is no God that we can compare him to. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you. They will bring glory to your name. For you are great and you do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. You stand alone as the one and only true God. The psalmist in Psalm 91, the first verse says that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then at verse 2, he says, this I will declare about the Lord God, that he is my refuge, my fortress, in whom I trust. He's declaring, my God is my fortress. My God is my refuge. Proverbs says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous can run to it and they're safe. But this is what the psalmist is declaring, that God is my refuge. God is my fortress. He's my God. It's very personal. He's your God, and you have a very personal relationship with him. And that's the same way I heard a man say one time that the Holy Spirit is a person, and you have to acknowledge that if you want a personal relationship with him. And so God is very personal. And you have to believe that. And you can have a personal relationship with him. You can call on him anytime. And then as you read through that the rest of Psalm 91, there is a list of titles or a list of blessings that we see God to be in there. And we see blessings as God is my deliverer. Has God delivered you? God is my defender. God is my protector. God is my shield. My God is my strength. My God is my comfort, my joy. My God is my peace. My God is my healer. My God is the ever-present one. My God is the ever-faithful one. My God is my hope. My God is trustworthy. My God is my closest friend. And on and on. As you read through that chapter, these things jump out at you as we declare who God is to us and what we have found or who we have found God to be. God wants to be anything and everything to you and to the church if we will just allow him to be. The God whom the psalmist described is the same today. The God who was, still is. Again, Malachi says, God says, I do not change. I am the same today. What I did yesterday, I can do today, I will do today, and I will continue to do forever. The God who was, still is. He is our way maker. He is our miracle worker. He's a promise keeper, our light in the darkness. And I just encourage you today to trust him. To trust him to be your way maker. Make our focus to be on him. And I know we can get distracted with things. I know we get distracted with stuff. But we just got to pause, take a breath, and realign our focus. And I'm not telling you to ignore things that go on in your life, but what I'm telling you is make sure your focus is on him. Get your focus on him. Get that vertical thing right, these things down here. That's what the Ten Commandments were. Once we get this vertical thing right, the horizontal will come into being or come into place. We'll have it. But that vertical relationship has to be right. I trust him. I don't understand everything. It's like if you've seen the commercial on TV about Franklin Graham, he says about the Bible. He says, do I understand it all? No. But he said, I believe it all. And that's what we have to do. That's where we have to find ourselves. We may not understand everything in here or everything that goes on, but I believe what it says in this book. I believe that as Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth, that he will lead me, he will guide me into truth, and he will be the one to reveal truth to me as I spend time in the Word. As I spend time in the Word. As I spend time in prayer. As I spend time meditating on it. As I spend time fellowshipping with the Lord. In that quiet time, whether it's a couple minutes, whether it's an hour, whatever your quiet time is. I'm not telling you to spend a certain amount of time. Whatever God is leading you to do. I've heard people say, you know, about praying an hour. Yeah, I can never pray an hour. Well, you get to praying and praising and worshiping, an hour goes by pretty doggone quick. It does. But God is good. God wants to be your way maker. God wants to be your miracle worker, your promise keeper, your light in the darkness, and be your God, your defender, your shield, all that you need, your protector. I ran across a song. I'm not going to sing it, but I ran across a song done by Triumphant Quartet. And they recorded Chainbreaker, if you're familiar with that song, Chainbreaker. Or My Amazing God. But I ran across this song that they recorded called We Will Remember. And as I listened to that song touches everything that I've been attempting to say in these six services. I'm going to try to play it for you. Listen to the words of the song and see if you can't pick up on what we've been trying to say. And they're just confirming this through this song, "We Will Remember." And I think it's going to work, I hope.
We will remember, though it's so
song, I heard all the titles of these messages: A Waymaker, Miracle Worker, the mighty deeds that you've done, the Promise Keeper, He is so ever faithful, Light in the Darkness, and My God, that's who He is. And we will remember. That's what God told Israel when He brought him out of Egypt. Don't ever forget, it was I who brought you out. You didn't come out in your own strength. You didn't come out in your own deeds. You didn't come out in your own. It was I who brought you out of Egypt. Don't ever forget that. And don't ever forget what God has done or is doing in your life. And allow Him to be your way maker, your promise keeper, your miracle worker, your light in the darkness. And always give Him thanks. He is the forever faithful God. Amen. Amen. Father, we want to thank You for this time together and for Your presence with us. And Father, even the services may be ending, God, You continue to work. You continue to touch. You continue to speak. You continue to do great and mighty things that bring honor and glory to Your name. We certainly pray Your blessings on Japheth as he ministers here and his wife and family. Give him wisdom. Direct him, Lord. And we pray for the congregation, Father, too. Lord, You stir in their hearts a new hunger and thirst for You. And Father, now we just ask as we leave this place, You would go with us, give us safety as we travel. Thank You so much for being the ever faithful God here in these services. We give You all the praise. We give You all the honor and glory. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you very much for allowing us to come, listening, and God bless you. I'm done.